What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And I know what I'll be doing when I go home today. I will be binge watching America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys on Netflix. It came out. What time did you wake up this morning to look for it?
4:30. And I watched, I got through the first like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
The director, McClain Way, is joining us live on the home of America's Team, 105.3 The Fan. And he's on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy to be on. Thanks for having me on, Sean. Bobby, excited to talk Cowboys and America's Team, Gambler and His Cowboys. It's going to be fun.
So there's been so many documentaries and NFL networks and ESPN Sports Centuries and pieces done on the Cowboys and the divorce in the 90s. What separates this one, McClain? What makes this different?
Yeah, I think what initially drew us was just the full access to Jerry and Jimmy. And it's like, I know that they have talked individually about their relationship dating back from when they were 17 years old to teammates at the University of Arkansas, to winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and then, of course, Jimmy's firing and him leaving the Cowboys. But I had never really actually heard them talk together about it at length. Like, yeah, they had done kind of small little Fox segments here and there, but I was really excited about the opportunity to sit down with, you know, we interviewed Jimmy for I think about 7 hours one day, and we probably spent, you know, 3.5 hours talking about his relationship with Jerry Jones. And Jerry we interviewed for almost 40 hours. So the opportunity to really like dive deep and have these guys do what we call the post-mortem, like let's do a post-mortem on your relationship all these years later. And they came up with some like what I like to think are really interesting and thoughtful answers. There's always going to be disagreements between these guys. If you get them in the same room and ask them who deserves credit for the Herschel Walker trade, you're going to get two different answers to this day. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of times they expressed a little bit of regret and a little bit of responsibility and a little bit of accountability while still acknowledging kind of the amazing things that they accomplished together. So that was really what drew us to this one from the get-go.
Do you get the sense that they like each other today?
I get the sense that they have reached a spot which like I personally admire, which is they can acknowledge that they will have disagreements from here until the very end. Like they are never going to agree over certain things,
yeah.
But that's okay. And they say that's okay. And they can still have a relationship that's built on like respect and admiration, and they can be in the same room. And honestly, they can actually have a great time together. It reminds me of, you know, I co-direct with my brother, and there's probably going to be some things that we never agree on, but he's still my brother and we can still have a relationship and we can still kind of work together. And I do see similarities between that and Jerry and Jimmy.
After hearing it just yourself, this is just the opinion of McClain Way.
Yeah.
Who do you blame for the divorce?
That's a great question. I like ebbed and flowed throughout like the 2 years of this relationship. Like, and honestly, I think that's a sign of Jerry being able to make good arguments and Jimmy being able to get good arguments. Where I ultimately came down was, and I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I do understand both these guys. Is what I didn't really realize about Jerry before I made this documentary, that was kind of a realization that started to form. And I'm sure maybe you guys know these things, but for me, it was new information, which was this guy had a transformative experience in college. He won the 1964 national championship at the University of Arkansas, and it changed his life. It was the best thing that ever happened to him. Years later, when he makes $100 million in oil and gas, he does what me and my friends, and maybe you guys would do if you would have won, netted $100 million. You go and you buy the Dallas Cowboys. It's like the most fun thing you can do. And I think Jerry did that in an attempt to try and like recapture that feeling that he had winning the 1964 national championship, which is something that I think we'd all want to do. You know, we all had fun in college and we all would like to go back to those days and relive those. And I don't think Jerry was any exception, but what Jerry did was he hired one of his best friends that he's known since 17 years old to come along on this ride. And then Jimmy was like, you hired me to do a job and I need to do that job. And the way that I know how to do that job is I get in the locker room and I convince these guys to go out every Sunday and sacrifice their health and their bodies so that we can go win Lombardi trophies. But the sideline, practice, locker room, These are my areas. And when you bring cameras into the ESPN draft room or you come into these areas, yes, I think you can be a distraction at times in the endeavor that you hired me to do to go win you Lombardi trophies. So I like saw both sides. I saw Jerry as the human wanting to recapture this, and he's the owner. He should be allowed to do kind of whatever he wants. But then I saw Jimmy's point of view too, which is, hey, I have my own job to do. And sometimes when you're in these spaces, it hurts my ability to do my job. So I kind of ebbed and flowed, but ultimately I felt like I understood where both these guys were coming from.
McLean Way, the director of America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, dropping today on Netflix, joining us here on The Fan. How much of this is past versus present?
I'd say it's about 80% past. You know, it's like we shot enough that we could have done multiple episodes on the more present day version of the Dallas Cowboys, because we did spend a lot of time with the team in the 2023 season. And we were kind of like on that hype train. Like, they had won 16 games at home. You know, they were like going in against Green Bay. It was like, hey, maybe a playoff run's possible here. So we had filmed a ton up for that. Obviously, that Green Bay game was a fascinating game to film. Such a historic, devastating loss, and we had cameras on it. But in some ways, that was kind of the end of our modern day storyline, because we filmed a little bit in 2024, but it was just hard to find a little bit more of that drama in the 2024 season. But it was interesting. I mean, we've got to film with Steven and Charlotte and Jerry Jr. and like the whole family operation. It's all like fascinating. But I'd say it's about, you know, the seventh episode ends roughly, you know, halfway through that episode is the Michael Irvin trial in 1996 after they've won their third Super Bowl. So that gives you a sense of kind of the first seven episodes are pretty much in the past.
McLean, you know, we talked about the Jerry-Jimmy relationship, and I mean, that's obviously such a big focus for so many fans, even 30 years later when they look at it. Because you said that they're always going to have these differences and things like that, did you get the sense from either of them that they thought anything could have prolonged that relationship? Or do you think they felt like, no, this always had probably a 5-6 year expiration date? It wasn't going to be able to go any further.
It's a great question. I think that like Jerry would answer it with like, I didn't mean to be careless, but perhaps I was like that. He says like a version of that, which is like, his reasoning is like, I had put all my money on this team. I had gotten crucified for firing Tom Landry. I had become a little calloused to some of the criticism, or I was just reactive and instinctive to it. And I had lost my tolerance for kind of things that Jimmy was doing is kind of the way that he would paraphrase that. I think that Jimmy does like to say, and I have no reason not to believe him, like, listen, I did these jobs in 5-year runs. And I think to a degree that's true, because I don't know how it's interesting. I don't know how long Jimmy's coaching style as a highly demanding coach, as a yeller, as a screamer, as a very militant, intense coach would have lasted with Troy, Emmett, Michael, Dion becoming like multi-millionaires and suddenly becoming global icons of themselves. And that's no knock against those guys. That's just the difference of like, Jimmy kind of coached these guys a little bit on their earlier rookie contracts. And then when Barry Switzer came in, it's like these guys had all netted like tens of millions of dollars by that point. And perhaps it's a little bit harder to get yelled at by a coach 7 days a week, like when you're kind of your own global famous entity. So I think that's what they would say, you know, about how long when it came to an end, but it felt like it was the time for these guys to move on. I really don't know how much they were really talking to each other at the end there.
So take us behind the curtain. What was it like hanging out with Jerry and Steven Jones? What were they like behind the scenes, and your observations of the way they run the Cowboys?
Yeah, I was always very impressed. And like, you guys know this world probably way, way better than I do. But just as someone that like, I grew up in Los Angeles in the late 90s, I honestly didn't really grow up rooting for an NFL team just because I didn't have one. So I knew Jerry as kind of the larger than life Texan and owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And I knew it was a little bit of a family business, but I didn't know much more than
what's on your mind right now. The song you can't get out of your head, that breaking story, or that conversation you just have to be a part of.
That's the brand new song from
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots, he scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
And so I came in and it was just like interesting. It's like Jerry definitely is involved in like every major decision. There's no doubt. But I do think that he takes information and advice and the opinion of counsel. Like, it's a little bit of Knights of the Round Table. Like, everyone does kind of get a chance to chime in and tell dad or grandpa, because even sometimes the grandkids are in these meetings, how they feel and what they would do. And ultimately, I think it's Jerry's final decision. There's no doubt about that. But he enjoys like a robust discussion, and he doesn't mind if someone plays devil's advocate. He's not afraid to kind of get pushed back. And that was my experience. I mean, I know you guys have huge experience interviewing Jerry, but my experience was like you could kind of push Jerry in the interview and disagree with him, and he bounces back. He's fine with that.
Yeah.
Because I think he knows like, well, a better conversation will come out of it. So that was my opinion.
McLean Way, the co-director of America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, now out on Netflix. Dallas Morning News had a quote from Charlotte Jones that they put out yesterday that was in this documentary where she said, "We say we'll get him next time, but we're running out of we'll get them next times." Do you get the sense that that's Jerry's perspective at all? Do you get the sense that Jerry is keenly aware of like, hey, if I want to have this happen again, I'm running out of time?
100%. Like I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I really don't know what the pain of this 30-year history has been. I will not pretend that I have that every year I have felt that. So I have a concept of the fan dissatisfaction, but I don't feel it as a fan myself. So I will admit that. But I do think that this family wants to win one more than anything. And I do, I just feel that having been around them. And it's less that they want it for themselves, but they want it for their dad. Like, they want one more for Jerry. And every year that they get closer but don't get it or move farther back in that goal, I think hurts them pretty bad. And I know they're obviously run a highly successful franchise. They do incredibly well off the field, better than any other football team. And I know that family's proud of that. But I think that they still have a deep, deep desire to win one more. And I think part of that is they want to win one more that's not associated with this 90s era. Like, yes, Jerry did win one without Jimmy with Barry Switzer, but no doubt that's a part of the same team nucleus that Jerry, Jimmy built, the Herschel trade that gets into the argument between them. I think Jerry and this, they would like one more that is not associated with this 90s team. And I don't blame them. I mean, I get that.
You're an LA guy, so I often compare it to Kobe and Shaq. Kobe had to win his title without Shaq to get the credit, right? Shaq was the dominant big man, and everyone here basically attributes those titles to Jimmy. So we figure that burns Jerry up to go ahead and win it his way.
100%. I mean, I think that that's like obviously a large portion of the documentary is like you get to kind of hear from both sides about the things that Jerry did. And no doubt, I think that sometimes I do think that Jerry doesn't take, and I know this might shock your listeners, but enough credit for some of the things that he has done and did do. And I used to always kind of look at it a little bit like, you know, it's like all Jimmy wanted to do was win Lombardi trophies. And I get that endeavor, but people like Jerry Jones make those Lombardi trophies mean something because they build massive fan interest and they build the value of this game and they get people talking about it and what we're doing right here. Like, I've made so many other sports documentaries on different sports that making this was my first football documentary. It made me just, from an outsider's perspective, appreciate just how important football is. It's the only thing that really matters in our country in terms of television ratings or viewership. It's the unicorn that drives the entire business that I'm in. And I do think that Jerry has a significant part of that. And I get people that just want to win Lombardi trophies, but you also need a massive amount of human beings to be interested in those Lombardi trophies. And I think that Jerry Jones like played a significant part of making these things mean something. Like, it's why we talk about these things and why men make such deep, deep sacrifices to go win them.
We know you got to run, so this is the final one. Was there anything based upon the other sports documentaries you've done and following them around, where you said, that doesn't add up. Now, the 30-year drought makes sense maybe because of this, or a big surprise that caught you off guard that may have, you know, contributed to the Cowboys coming up short in following them for a couple years.
You know what? I think that, like, there's a couple things that come to mind. One is that I always heard from everyone, because we talked to so many Dallas reporters, like, God, you can say anything about Jerry Jones. You can say anything about Jerry Jones. He's like one of those kind of inflatable clowns. Like, you can knock him as hard as you want, but he's going to come right back up. And Dale Hansen even said something like that. Like, man, I would rip Jerry Jones in the next day at the field. Hey, come right up to me. Hey, how you doing, Dale? Great to see you, Dale. Yeah. And he was like, the guy was undefeatable in a certain way. And I always thought that was true. And I do think that's true. The only thing that I think people haven't pointed out is, like, but he didn't put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor for 30 years, which people were highly critical of Jerry for. But I think in a certain way, I just saw that as how painful this breakup and this relationship got to be for Jerry, because it is true. Jerry does not hold grudges, but the only thing that he couldn't do for 30 years was kind of put Jimmy in the Ring of Honor. And to me, that was just a little bit of a reflection of, like, man, these two dudes did kind of hurt each other. Yeah. It was one of the things that I was probably most surprised about, is you just assume interviewing these guys when I interviewed them in 2024, that they would have been like, this is old history. It's bygones be bygones. Things are good now. And both of them took every word that they said about each other very seriously, very slowly, and very deliberately. And I think that's a sign of, yes, they do have a relationship built on respect and admiration, but there was some pain, deep pain, that these two guys caused each other. And as a filmmaker, you're like, great, I want to explore that. Yeah. But always surprising.
Did you get the sense that McCarthy and Schottenheimer are free to do it their way? Because, you know, the perception is that Jerry is going to interfere and meddle.
I got the sense that, yes, I think so. I don't get the sense that Jerry, you know, obviously he's a different version of himself at 82 years old than he was in the 90s, you know, and I think that's just being a human being, you know. But I got the sense that I think that Jerry is optimistic as always about this season. You know, the kids told us a funny anecdote where they were like, man, you would think that Jerry would be the one that would be the most disappointed the day after our season's end, but he's always the one that picks up the phone call and calls us first thing in the morning and tells us to get back on the horse. So Jerry was always interesting like that. You know, the year that they went 1-15, everyone talked about that just being the worst year of their life, the worst year of their life, the worst year of their life. And honestly, it was kind of hard to get Jerry to say it was the worst year of life. He kept being like, I don't know, I was so happy to be in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
It was like, I got one win in one year and I got my game ball and I kept my one win game ball. Yeah, he was just like kind of on cloud nine. So sometimes Jerry's like that. When you think he's going to say one thing, he says the other.
Hey man, we could have you for the entire hour. You're absolutely tremendous. Thank you so much and congratulations. We'll all be talking about it and covering it this week.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having me on, guys.
McLean Way, the director of America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, out on Netflix right now. How nasty are these practices going to get? Who's this new corner? Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com is next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.